seen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 39, this evening. We're going to continue the life of Joseph, our series on the life of Joseph here in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 20. The title of my sermon tonight is Down But Not Out. Down But Not Out. Genesis chapter 39, verse number 20. Let's read verse 20 and 21 and then we will pray. Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 and 21. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can sing of that hope of life eternal in spiritual Beulah land. And we're thankful, O God, that in Christ Jesus we have that love and that assurance of life eternal. And we ask now as we study your precious word that you would teach us and encourage us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us this evening with your presence and power. Teach us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Now, the context of here in Genesis chapter 39, as we draw towards the end of the chapter, is that Joseph is falsely accused of wrongdoing. And we see that from verses 13 to 19 of chapter 39. And therefore, Potiphar, his master, puts him in prison. And note then verse number 20, it reads that he doesn't put him in any prison, he puts him in the king's prison, where the king's prisoners were bound. Now what does that exactly mean? We're not sure, but it could well mean that those that the king in some way personally condemned certain individuals, and they were condemned by the king in a very personal way. They committed some crime against the king in a very personal way, and they are kept in what's referred to as the king's prison. I would say it's probably the equivalent of maximum security. If you offended the king, then you really caused an offence, and they were set aside. And that's where Joseph was placed. He was placed in the amongst the king's prisoners. Joseph so far has been unjustly sold into slavery. He's transported miles away from home into Egypt. And it seems like that he has made up some ground being in Potiphar's house, only to be accused of immorality and thrown into prison. But yet the Bible teaches us there in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. God is still with Joseph. God doesn't desert Joseph. Our Lord's presence is our assurance of eternal life, is it not? Jesus Christ promised to abide with us forever. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The reality of his presence in our lives is something very special. And how is it that Joseph had the reality of God's presence? Well, could it be that Joseph lived a holy life? Note there in Matthew chapter 5 for a moment, Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. I'd like to just show you a little verse here. Only a little verse, but it communicates a whole lot. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Part of the Beatitudes. Note then verse 8, it reads, blessed are the pure in heart. And note this next little phrase, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When I think of Joseph, and there in verse 21 of Genesis 39, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph had the presence of God. He had the presence of God theologically, but he had the presence of God practically. And see, in Christ Jesus, when you and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God's presence is with us. In fact, the Bible teaches us we are sealed unto the day of redemption by His blessed Holy Spirit. But Joseph experienced the reality of God's presence. And could it be because Joseph was a holy man of God? Because Joseph was holy, therefore God's Spirit, God's presence in his life could have effect. And the Bible teaches us that Joseph once again finds favor in the sight of the prison guard. The reality of his presence in our lives is to a measure connected to our measure of holiness. See, theologically, in Christ, we have his presence. But why is it that though theologically, he that has the Son has life, but yet at the same time, there are those of us that give little evidence of God's presence? But that wasn't Joseph, was it? It was evident that God was with him. And we've just seen that he has resisted temptation. He has given us a very strong indication that Joseph was a holy man. A young man, but a holy man. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Joseph experienced the reality of God's presence, because he was a man of holiness. And this was evident in him resisting Potiphar's wife. The Bible teaches us that we are to be sanctified in body, soul, and spirit. And God's presence was with Joseph, because Joseph was a man that honored the Lord. It seems like for many of God's people, they know God personally as their Savior, but there is little evidence of the reality of God upon their life. But that's not what we find in Joseph. And I don't know about you, but I want people to see God in me. I trust that you want people to see God in you. But how can the reality of God's presence be evident in your life and my life when we fail to live a holy life? When God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. So Joseph had the evidence of God's presence in his life. And let's see what it does for Joseph. How Joseph is still blessed of God because God is with him. Now don't get me wrong, as a child of God, God's presence is with us always. But at the same time, the reality of his presence comes through an obedient, holy life. And that was evident in the life of Joseph. Note in verse 21 that the Bible goes on to read, "But the Lord was with Joseph," and note the next little phrase, "and showed him mercy." See, Joseph was down, but he wasn't out. He was in prison, but he wasn't knocked out, because God was with him. Because this man was a holy man of God, an obedient man of God, a man of God that honored the Lord, God was with him. And the Bible teaches us that God showed him mercy. God showed mercy to Joseph. See, things could have been a lot worse for Joseph. Think about it for a moment. Joseph could have been killed on the spot. He could have been sold into slavery once again. But God shows him mercy. Things could have been a lot worse for Joseph. We ought to praise God for his mercies. Note there in Lamentations, please, chapter 3. Quickly, Lamentations. Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 3. Verse 21 and 22. Jeremiah, as he wept over the destruction of Jerusalem, he said, "Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Note then, verse 23, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God's mercies. Jeremiah said it's by the mercy of God that we as a nation are not completely consumed. Yes, Jerusalem is destroyed, but we are not destroyed as a nation. Beloved, we ought to thank God for his mercies upon us. It was Jacob, as he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he said, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." See, Jacob came to a point in his life when he realized his own wickedness. He said, "God, I'm not worthy of minimal mercy from you." And what about David? David said to Gad the prophet, after he had numbered the people, he said, "I am in a great strait." 2 Samuel 24:14. "Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great." Or what about Psalm 145 verse 9? "The Lord is good to all. His tender or compassionate mercies are over all his works." Beloved, our merciful God gives us less at times, and he gives us more at times than what we deserve. God was merciful to Joseph. And when you are down, no need to say, "I'm out, I'm going to quit," because God is merciful. When things are not going your way, you're to thank God for his mercy. You're to thank God for his mercy. Life could be a lot tougher for us if it were not for the mercies of God. Yesterday we had a wonderful result in our federal election. God was merciful to us. God has given us a Christian Prime Minister. That's the mercy of God. Do you think Australia deserves a Christian Prime Minister? Yes or no? No! God did not give us what we deserve. He was merciful to us. And God worked a miracle, I believe, in giving us a leader of our country that claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. How is God showing his mercy towards you? Because there are times that you and I feel like we're in prison, unjustly, for whatever reason. But if God is with you, beloved, and you are living a life that's honourable to him, like Joseph of old, God will show you mercy. Look, it's one thing to lose a position within a company, but yet you can still have a job. That's the mercy of God. You can lose your health, but you're still alive. You can damage your car, but not be hurt physically. I'm not wealthy, but you know what? God has provided for me abundantly. When the reality of God's presence is upon our lives, God will manifest his mercies towards us. And the Bible says that God was with Joseph and showed him mercy. How has God been merciful to you? I can assure you that if you're honouring the Lord, God will show his mercy towards you and I. But also note then verse 21, please, back in Genesis 39, that God was with Joseph, showed him mercy, but also note there the Bible reads, and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph was favoured. He was favoured by the keeper of the prison.
Now, wasn't he favored once upon a time before Potiphar? Yes, he was. Now he's favored before the keeper of the prison. Joseph was liked. How is that? Because God was with him. It is God that can cause us to be favored in our times of difficulties. I like Proverbs 16:7, which reads, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Or Daniel 1:9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. This is a work of God, this is a work of grace that God does in the hearts of others. Wait upon the Lord and ask him to help you to see what God is doing in the hearts of others around you as you respond spiritually to your circumstances. See, Joseph was favored by the keeper of the prison. In Exodus 3:21 it reads, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty." And if we had time, we'd go to Exodus chapter 11, chapter 12, and God's people, God blessed his people, and as they prepared to leave Egypt, God gave them favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Beloved, our favor can increase if we respond spiritually to our circumstances. In Luke 2:52 it reads, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." See, God was with Joseph. And beloved, no matter where you are at in your life, and you might feel like, well, it seems like, Pastor, I'm in a prison, and it's just not fair. God will show his mercy towards you in some way. But also, God can give you favor in the sight of others. What obligation did the keeper of the prison have to show favor to Joseph? Absolutely none. But the Bible teaches us that he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And as we read on in verse 22, he gave him such favor. Look at verse 22. "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison." A prisoner is made in charge of prisoners. Work that one out. "And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." Verse 23, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." So the Bible teaches us that God's favor was upon Joseph. God's mercy was upon Joseph. God showed him mercy and God granted him favor. But also, the Bible also teaches us that Joseph has the evidence of God's presence upon him to the point that Joseph is given authority within the prison. He is given charge over the king's prisoners. Not just any group of prisoners, this is the king's prisoners. He gets a job and he gets a promotion at the same time. The keeper of the prison favors Joseph and he trusts Joseph and he places into Joseph's hands the responsibility for the prisoners within the king's prison. Let me ask you, can you be trusted? Can you be trusted to honor the Lord? In your workplace, for example. Take a moment, please, and turn to the book of Titus. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Note then verse 9 and 10, some wonderful principles here concerning biblical work ethics. You ought to highlight these verses. "Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters." Principle number one, obey your boss. "And to please them well in all things." Principle number two, keep your boss happy.
Do what he tells you to do. Number three, not answering again, verse 9. Don't back chat your boss. Your boss is your boss. Submit and do as you're told. Good work ethics. Look at verse number 10. Not purloining. Not embezzling. Don't rob the workplace. But showing all good fidelity. Show your workplace that you can be trusted, that you do not need your boss hovering over you 24/7 to get your work done. Don't rob the workplace of time or resources, not purloining. And what will this do? Look at the end of verse 10. That you may adorn or garnish, make attractive what? The doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Wonderful work ethics. Be obedient to your boss. Please him. Be submissive. Don't back chat him. Be trustworthy. Don't only work hard when the boss is in range. Work hard because it's right to work hard. And be trustworthy. And this is Joseph of old all over. And God promoted him, and he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, and he was given authority. Beloved, what will God give you in that time of crisis? God can show his mercy. God can show his favor. But God gave Joseph authority. But what does God want to give you? Down but not out. You might feel like, oh, but Pastor, I feel like I'm in a prison. It's just not fair. But it's within that prison God can give you something. God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. A prisoner is given charge over the king's prisoners. What will God do for you when life is not going your way? As you maintain God's presence through purity of life, greater respect leads to greater opportunities, greater authority. This step up in respect before the prison guard would be a means of greater advancement in Egypt in the future. And beloved, as you and I have the manifestation of God's presence in our hearts and lives through holiness, God will give you. Might not give you authority, but God will give you something. Just like what he did for Joseph, for him, he gave him authority, gave him the opportunity to care for the king's prisoners. But also we read on, let's read on here in chapter 40, verses 1 to 4. But also Joseph is given a new opportunity to minister. Go back to Genesis chapter 40, please. So the keeper of the prison so trusted Joseph that he gave him responsibility of the king's prisoners. And then we move into chapter 40. Note then verses 1 to 4 it reads, and it came to pass that after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. How did they offend him? Well, we're not told. The butler, the cupbearer, and the baker in some way offended the king of Egypt. And note verse 2, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers. This is the head cupbearer. And against the chief of the bakers, the head of the bakery department of Egypt. And note verse 3, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So obviously Joseph is still in prison. He's a prisoner, but he has responsibility over prisoners. And then we read on in verse number 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And note that Joseph was responsible. Note the second part of verse 4 reads, he served them. He served them. And they continued a season in ward. Here we are told that Pharaoh's butler and baker, chief butler, chief baker, offended him. They're placed in prison. Joseph is given charge over them. And the Bible teaches us that he takes the opportunity to serve them. Now hang on, he's in charge of them. But he serves them. Providence with purpose has brought Joseph and the butler and baker together. In Ephesians 1:11 it reads, listen carefully, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Beloved, God is very purposeful. And God gives Joseph an opportunity to minister. God shows mercy to Joseph. God shows favor to Joseph. Favor, mercy. God is also gracious to Joseph. He gives him a position. He gives him authority within the king's prison. But now, what else does God do for Joseph? He gives him an opportunity to serve, to minister in the prison. And beloved, when you and I feel like from time to time that we are in prison, God is able to show mercy. God is able to show favor. God is able to give above that which we might ask or think in the prison. And rest assured that it's within that prison, within your life, that God might give you a unique opportunity to serve. God brings them together. Joseph has an opportunity to minister to the butler and to the baker. What opportunity is God opening up for you in this time of difficulty, maybe for you at this time? See, Joseph in the short term was able to serve them and be the means of deliverance from prison. The Bible teaches us the baker, unfortunately, was hanged. But the butler was restored to his position once again. They both had a dream, and they were troubled over this dream. And note then verses 20 to 23, please, the outcome. Chapter 40, verses 20 to 23. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. So Joseph accurately interpreted the butler's dream and the baker's dream. And Joseph said to the baker, "Baker, you're going to be hanged, I'm sorry." But to the butler, Joseph said, "You will be restored once again to your position of authority." The Bible teaches us, "As ye therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith." See, God is able to take those seasons of life when life is not going your way, for example, or you feel like you're in prison, so to speak, and turn them around and give you fresh opportunities to serve the Lord. God doesn't want us to be stagnant. He wants us to serve Him wholeheartedly. And may God open up our eyes to see the opportunities before us. And you and I might be crying, "Oh, but Lord, why have you put me in this prison at this time? It's just not fair. Life is not going my way." And beloved, may I encourage you by saying, God is in control. And God is purposeful.
And God was purposeful when he allowed Joseph to be placed in prison, because it was in that prison he was able to minister to these two men, even though one got off scot-free, the other one was hanged, but at least they both got an interpretation of their dream. See, Joseph had an opportunity as he ministered to witness. Look at verse number 8, please, of chapter 40. Joseph notices that the men are sad. Look at, if you go back to verse number 6, it reads, "And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And then they gave the reason why they were sad." Look at verse 8. "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpretation of it. But note Joseph's response. He said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." So Joseph gets an opportunity to testify that God is able to reveal the teaching of your dream. And he not only has an opportunity to be a witness of what God can do, but he also has an opportunity to meet a need. These men are desperate to know what do these dreams mean. And Joseph assured them there. He said, "Tell me them, I pray you." So Joseph was prepared to meet a need. For the butler and the baker, they both wanted to know the interpretation of their dream. Verse number 13. "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler." So God gave some assurance, some comfort to the butler that you will be restored. You will be restored. But also this gave Joseph an opportunity to say what needed to be said. Look at verse number 19. Yet within 3 days he said to the baker, "Shall Pharaoh lift up thy head off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." He could say what needs to be said. And sometimes God will give you and I an opportunity to serve in that prison scenario, so to speak. And it might be the very moment that you can say what needs to be said. It can be an opportunity where you can testify of what God can do. Or it might be an opportunity to provide some comfort or provide some guidance. God is able to use your circumstances for His glory. See, God continued to use Joseph while he was in prison. Why? Because Joseph had the reality of God's presence in his life. God showed him mercy, God showed him favor, God gave him authority, and God gave him an opportunity to minister. If it wasn't for this time in prison, Joseph might never have had an opportunity to witness to the butler and the baker concerning there is a God in heaven who can interpret dreams. That might never have happened in all probability. And beloved, if God places you in a prison, so to speak, or you're going through a stage of life where you're crying out, "Lord, why aren't things going my way?" Hey, God can show mercy. God can show favor. God can give to you above and beyond you might ask or think. A prisoner is in charge of prisoners. You work that one out. That's not usually how it works. And God also gives him an opportunity to minister to individuals that potentially he might never, ever have an opportunity to minister to. And beloved, your time in your spiritual prison could be the very setting that God will bring across your path a butler and a baker that needs to be ministered to, that you need to witness to, that you can provide guidance to, that you can provide comfort to, or maybe you can just say what needs to be said to that individual. See, God continued to use Joseph while he was in prison. Why? Because, well, the Bible teaches us
The Lord was with Joseph. God, who is holy, demands holiness from his people. At salvation, we receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible teaches us we are sealed unto the day of redemption. In Ephesians 4:30, it reads, listen carefully, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Please connect the two parts of the verse together. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It is possible to have his presence positionally. Every child of God has the presence of God by his Spirit. But the reality of his presence, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. The reality of God's presence on your life and my life comes through a life of obedience and holiness, because God is holy. And it's God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Beloved, can people see God in you? Can people see God in me? How can possibly anybody see God in us if we are grieving the Spirit of God through sin? It was obvious that Joseph was a holy man. He resisted the temptation with Potiphar's wife. He believed in holiness. He believed in sanctification. This is Joseph's testimony. And therefore God's presence was with God. God's presence was with Joseph. And God showed him mercy. God showed him favor. God gave him authority. And God gave him an opportunity to serve. My friend, do you feel like you're in prison? You feel like you're in prison? You feel like you've unjustly beaten. You've been unjustly treated and you've been thrown in prison. God, this isn't fair. I don't deserve this. Ah, but my friend, if God is with you, he is positionally, but is he practically? Are you living a holy life? God will show you mercy. God will give you favor in the sight of others. God will give you above and beyond, you might ask or think. And also God, within that prison state that you might be in, God might give you an opportunity to minister in ways that you've never ministered before. And we've all heard testimonies of God's people going through situations in life, circumstances in life that they've never been in before, and how these individuals have testified, how God has opened up opportunities to minister in ways that were never possible. We serve a great God, don't we? But the issue is God with you? Are you living a holy life? Is he with you positionally by faith in Jesus Christ? And is he with you practically as you and I live a holy and pure life, like Joseph of old? May God encourage us and stir us afresh to live holy and pure lives. Let's bow for prayer.